design as God intended it to be. Genesis 1:27. Let's pray as we do so. Our Father, thank you again that we can open your word given to us by your love, plan, and design for us to walk with you and experience life as you intend it to be. Help us to find that. Help us to think clearly as you think. Help us to be renewed in our minds by your word. And help us, Lord, to be that beacon of light and truth to the others around us in the world who are in darkness, who are in blindness, who don't understand, and who are missing all that you have provided in life. Help us to honor and please you as we look at these scriptures in Jesus' name. Amen. So you know this well, Genesis 1, right? The most famous of the core of who we are and why we're here. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And all of the offspring now go out the door. We're going to be talking about that in just about 4 minutes. Male and female, God created them. What a lifelong learning experience it is to figure out the opposite sex, right? What a challenge. Those of you who have been married for 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and by the way, I believe, if I say it right, that Paul and Junis are going to celebrate 65th this year. I think that's right. Can you believe that? 65 years. It is a lifelong experience learning how the other thinks, right? And as soon as you figure it out, they change. So here you go. But let's talk about life, and let's talk about what happens when you create male and female. It doesn't take long before you get one of these. Yeah, how did that happen, huh? Yeah. God said, Adam and Eve, I got a little assignment for you, and they were right on it. So we got one of these, and of course, that's a cute picture, but we realize that Adam and Eve probably did not have blue eyes and white skin. What color is that kid's eyes? Yeah. We realize that the original Adam and Eve were probably very darker skinned and brown eyes. We know that genetically, and that, you know, all colors have come from the Almighty in the genetic plan that he devised. Those of us that are fair skin and blue eyes are actually genetic mutations of recessive genes that happened in Northern Europe. So we understand that. Okay? But think about life as God designed it. Even that very fact that as he designed the DNA code and embedded it in Adam and Eve, within that code was the ability to create everything that we see worldwide around us. All the colors, all the variations, all the curly, all the straight, all the sizes, all the different looks, all the eye colors, all of that was bedded in the code as God says, watch this, this is going to be fun. And we'll create billions of unique human beings who all look unique and different by the artistic hand of our designer who embedded all of that in the beginning and said, let's watch, this will be fun. Right? And as you watch to see what your kid's going to look like. Amazing. God created it all in the original plan with Adam and Eve. He said, let's make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl, the cattle, and everything. I've kind of combined some verses together. But I want to make this point from the beginning, which we've often made. As God designed Adam and Eve, who would then have children, God designed them to be in his own image, that we could talk with him, relate to him, understand him, and somehow be unique in the universe in terms of our relationship with God. He created the world of animals around us for our benefit, but they're not made in God's image. They don't have eternal souls. They don't compose fifth symphonies. They don't write books. And they don't communicate with God in the way that we communicate with God. We are unique in the universe in that we are made in the image of God. And so we understand, as we talk about and celebrate life, that the life of these guys is different than the life of this guy, right? Now, the world doesn't understand that anymore. They've got it all mixed up and all turned around, but we understand it biblically, and it's important that we uphold human life and the sanctity of human life as opposed to all other creatures on planet Earth. We are given dominion over all of these critters, and there's some unique ones out there, are there not? We are to manage them, have dominion over them, take care of the earth. God gave it to us for our benefit. But in all of this is not the image of God. And none of them have the equal value to your child. So that every baby that's born, human baby, is of infinite value for all of eternity as opposed to the next rabbit born out in the field or the next kangaroo or the next aardvark or whatever it may be. Yes, they're for our benefit. Yes, they're wonderful. Let's manage the earth and let's do it well. But there is an absolute essential difference between a dolphin and a human being. And the world's got it turned upside down, so now we save dolphins and we extinguish human beings. We assert from the very beginning that God designed all of this. He designed us for marriage. He designed us as male and female, created in God's image, and He blessed them. And we've lost that, obviously, as well, as we no longer believe that it's male and female, as God said. And in doing so, we lose His blessings. Somehow, in this century, in the Western world, we've decided that there's actually 42 different genders, and that we're not male and female, and that God had it all wrong for all of those years, and all of human history has been wrong, and we've got a whole different plan for how life ought to be. But here's the problem. If you don't follow the book and the designer and the blueprint, you'll never experience the blessings of the one who designed it. I've dealt with two different electricians in the last couple of weeks. Both good men. And I know enough electricity to be dangerous. And in both cases, I suggested things that these electricians looked at me and said, no. What does the manual say? And when I had to go dig out manuals, like, oh, come on. You're an electrician, you know what to do, right? No, they want to know, what does the manual say? And the one guy called the manufacturer, because he said, I want to know exactly what they want, what they designed it to do, and how it's supposed to function. I'm not going to... I said, you're a trained electrician. No, I got to call the manufacturer and do it according to the book. Interesting, right? Why is it that in electricity and engineering, we are very, very precise? And when it comes to human beings, we say, oh, do whatever you want. It'll all work out fine. No, it won't. If you wired the way I wired, something would probably burn down. Hasn't happened yet, but I'm not saying it wouldn't. You know what happens when we don't follow the book? Things burn down. Society falls apart. It does. This great experiment of let's change it all around and do it some other way doesn't work. Protecting dolphins and killing humans, creating whatever gender you want, changing marriage to whatever definition you want, won't work because that's not the way it was designed. That's not the way it functions, and that's not the way we get the blessings of Almighty God. So as we celebrate life today, we celebrate it as God designed it, and we want to experience it as God designed it so that we experience His blessings. Isn't that significant? That is. So God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth. At that point, as I joke, as God gave the instructions to Adam and Eve, I don't know which one jumped, but I'm sure Adam said, I'm on it, I'll take care of it. Right? And that they did, right? As Adam and Eve came together, I'm not embarrassing anybody this morning, we're just giving you the facts. As Adam and Eve came together, something amazing, incredible took place. As this sperm from Adam met the egg from Eve and penetrated that egg, and two human beings gave something that became one unique, totally new human being. Be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth. And all of a sudden, you have a brand new, one-celled human being that's totally different from the mother, totally different from the father, different genetic code, maybe different eyes, different look. It's unique. And the history of the world just came together by God's design and plan. I'm sure Adam and Eve didn't quite comprehend all of that at that moment in time. But inside of Eve, that one cell started duplicating and multiplying with instructions embedded into the cell by God Almighty that told it how to do this and how to split the strands and how to duplicate the strands. And even built into those cells is an automatic fix and repair thing that if something gets wrong with the DNA, it'll fix it. It's just incredible. Those cells multiplied, and within 12 weeks, you see something like this. And actually, you saw that long before the 12 weeks. And don't object to the word fetus. I just used the picture. It's a baby. It's a human baby. Right? Inside of Eve, a miracle has taken place. As that one cell becomes multiple cells, and at 8 weeks, the heart was beating. And by 12 weeks, you see clearly the eyes, the head, the hands, the fingers, the toes, the heartbeat pumping. The whole system is just working. An independent human being, it's not a part of Eve, he's inside of Eve, but he's not a part of Eve. This child has a separate blood system, a separate heart system, separate DNA, and a separate life. He has a different personality. He's unique in the history of the world. And a miracle is taking place inside of Eve. God's design. It's amazing. And within a few more weeks, it becomes so clear that with these pictures nowadays, you can see the eyebrows. You can see fingerprints and fingernails. I can't remember when exactly all those things form. And you have this amazing life. And this kid's in there swimming and kicking and saying, "Hey, I'm hungry, feed me." And saying, "Wake up, stop sleeping," right? And doing all kinds of things. The miracle of life as God designed it. And then you get this. 9 months later, wearing a masculine shirt. I had to put that in there for Ron. Or maybe you get this. You just never know when you get to the hospital what's going to come out of this deal. Isn't it amazing? Yeah, we went to the hospital 4 different times with kids. You just don't know what you're going to get. It's always a surprise, right? And it can be quite a bundle of fun. Oh my, wow. The miracle of life is we suddenly have a new human being and a new member of the family, and life changes and gets pretty exciting. God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill up the earth." He commanded that to be done. He wanted that to be done. And so we've done a pretty good job of that. We're doing pretty good filling up the earth. Of all the commands God ever gave, that's the one that we've done pretty well at. Mm-hmm. The miracle of life, we want to celebrate that today. And in doing so, we want to remind ourselves again and again that it was God's design, male and female, and to celebrate that essential relationship before the child comes, supposed to be before the child comes, the essential relationship of marriage as God intended it to be, male and female. God said, "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they will become one flesh." And so as we celebrate life, we have to begin by celebrating marriage, because that's the way life's supposed to come. The designer designed it so a male and a female would reunite in a covenant bond before the child comes, so that they have a stable home for which to be raised. And we flipped it all around and turned it all upside down. Marriage is a covenant bond. It's not two people living together. That is not a marriage. And in this generation now, and we thought it was prolific 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the huge change in the last 10 years in America is the massive amount of people who are growing up saying, I will never get married. It's shocking, in a sense, to watch how many people say, I'm just going to live together. I will never marry. I am not going to do it because whatever reason. And so they've said, not only of the 20 to 30-year-olds, which is the biggest generation doing that, but it's also true of the older generation and everybody in between. We're throwing marriage out the window. All these live-together relationships with multiple partners, and we've totally destroyed what God intended to be. And half of the children in America are born out of wedlock, not in wedlock. When God intended for the marriage to be stable with a covenant bond, and it's not a marriage until you make those covenants to each other, that promise, then it's a marriage. In the same way, you're not saved until you call upon the Lord and you make that covenant bond with Him. You're not married until you make that covenant bond. God intended that marriage, male and female, to be together in a covenant bond, then to have a child who they will raise together for God's glory and give that child both male direction and input and female direction and input. And so what's amazing to me is watch how this social experiment has transformed in America to the point where we have decided, well, you don't need both. And so we have two mothers or two fathers, and now we have a generation that has been raised that way. And some of those kids are speaking up who are now 18, 19, 20, 20 some years old. The kids are speaking up and saying, I wish that I had had a father instead of two mothers. Kids are raised up and saying, I wish that I had had a mother instead of two fathers. And it's interesting to hear their testimony growing up in those homes where everybody told them, oh, they'll be fine. And they're growing up and saying, no, you deprived me of something that was very, very important in my life by deciding that marriage, as the Bible describes it, isn't valid or necessary. And so we assert these things from the beginning of creation, that God's plan has a reason. There is a purpose. There is a design. And when we violate the design, we don't experience the blessings of life. If we want God's blessings, then we do it His way. So one male, one female, come together in covenant bond, raise a child for God's glory, and it's a whole lot different. Doesn't promise that everything's going to go smooth. You may regret that decision, but that's the best place to be, is in the way that God designed it, to experience His blessings. We assert, as we do that not only is marriage important and essential and by God's design, but that human life is sacred and begins at conception. Human life begins at conception. It's amazing that we have to argue this point, and thankfully, as things have progressed over the last few years, we're arguing this point less and less as more secular people have come to the point of saying, yes, human life begins at conception. But a generation ago, everybody was throwing that one out too. Oh, no, it doesn't. It begins at 20 weeks. It begins at 9 months. It begins somewhere else, but we don't know when it begins. You'd see people with PhDs saying, oh, we don't know when human life begins. Like, really? Really? Is it that great of a mystery? Human life begins at conception, because before that, you don't have a unique human being. At the moment of conception, when the egg and sperm unite, you suddenly, for the very first time, have a unique human being, different than either parent. That's when human life begins. And that's the moment where we call that a person who has a life, who is important and who is valuable and whom we cherish and whom we protect. At least those who believe this, right? At the very moment of fertilization, right? So we read these words in the Psalms, and we're going to focus on Psalm 139 this morning. You can follow along, or you can read it in your scriptures. We're focusing on Psalm 139. It says, verse 13, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. God is in there doing a miracle, forming the child by His design and by His plan. Those cells know to produce a finger and not a foot. Who told him that? Those cells know to produce a heart and started beating. Who told them that? That cell knows that it's supposed to produce an eye, and the eye is going to have an optic nerve, and those signals are going to go between the eye and the brain, and that part of the brain knows how to process those signals. And it is the most amazing camera the world's ever seen. You can spend millions of dollars in the most sophisticated camera equipment built by man, and it's nothing compared to the human eye. And you could buy all the hard drive storage space in the world you want, as I watch my kids get terabytes and terabytes of storage space. Our one son has bought hundreds and hundreds of modems to do data mining for Bitcoin. And the storage space involved in all this and the processing ability is unbelievable. But guess what? You can buy all the storage space in the world that won't compare to the storage space between your two ears. If you could only retrieve it, it would be another story. But this thought has always baffled me. I do a lot of videos. My phone's full. I got to erase them or do something. But everything that I have ever seen since I was young is in here somewhere. And when I talked about the snowstorm of 1967 with 36 inches of snow, I can still see those images in my mind. I can bring them back up. The forts we built at the end of the driveway. If you talk about where I went to second grade at Haverhill Elementary School, I can see the room, I can see the teacher, I can see the seats. Those images are still in there. I have millions of images in my brain between my ears, so do you. How does that little mass of blob of matter between your ears store all that information? Pretty amazing design if you ask me, right? God formed you in the inward parts, right? Isn't it incredible? Psalm 139, verse 14 says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you look at the human being, the brain, the eye, every bit of us, you go, how on earth does this work? How is it that if I cut my skin with a knife accidentally, that the blood knows to clot? And there's 17 different chemicals, biochemical processes that cause that blood to clot so I won't bleed to death. How does it know that? I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right very well. If we infuse, if we take you to the hospital and give you a blood infusion, right? That's the word, transfusion. And we give you type O when you were supposed to get type A or something else. Not going to go very well. Something is not going to do well. But the child in a mother's womb can have a different blood type than the mother, and they're both perfectly healthy and perfectly fine, because the blood doesn't actually share. There is a, I can't describe it, I'm not medical, there's some membrane, something that takes place that keeps the two blood systems separate so they don't poison each other. Who designed that? How does that work? And how is it that the child in the womb never needs to take a breath? All the oxygen is provided by the mother through that exchange of the blood that doesn't exchange the two blood types. And the child never takes a breath for 9 months, but once he enters our atmosphere world, all of a sudden that child starts breathing. Who told her to breathe? How does it know to do that? And who said to shut off the other system so you can start the new system? It's all in the programming. Isn't that amazing? Just amazing. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works. That my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. You didn't come from down there. It's just a euphemism describing the hidden parts of the womb that nobody can see, right? Your frame, everything about you, was skillfully made by the plan of the Almighty God in the womb, so that in 9 months' time, one single cell becomes this amazing human being with all the systems functioning and working, screaming her eyes out. The lungs work too, right? Psalm 139, verse 16. Your eyes saw my substance, yet being unformed, and in your book they were all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Now, this is my imagination. Don't go home and say, Pastor said it's true. So I picture, years ago, now it's in files, and now it's in computer systems, but I pictured this library of books in my mind. A huge library beyond belief. And there's a book on the library that's you. Everything about you is in there. Back to your eye color, back to the length of your feet, back to whether you can run a marathon or whether you trip over your own toe. Everything about you, your personality, everything about your body, everything about you is in that book. God opens the book and says, okay, I need a little bit of this and a dash of that, and how about a little bit of crazy humor? And let's give this one some musical ability. It's all in the book as he makes you. Now that's a little far-fetched, but understand? There's something about you. There's an entire book of who you are that's part of God's design. And it was all developed inside of the womb in this miracle of life. And someday, when we say your funeral and we say goodbye to the body you've lived in for a long time, that's not the end. Because who you are doesn't need that body. Who you are is in that book. And all you need is a new body. And God will someday in the resurrection give you a brand new resurrection body so that you exist for all of eternity. The old model is gone. It was just, you know, the old style lasted for a while. Here's the new you, and it's still you. It's your personality. It's who you are. It's your memories. It's your friends. It's your connections. It's you in eternity, in a resurrection body, based on the book of who you are that was all part of God's design and plan. Isn't life incredible, amazing, beyond belief? So that the psalmist says, wow, this is wonderful, this is incredible, is it not? So Psalm 139, verse 17 says, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Try this, if you're in the medical field. Try writing a set of volumes that explain every single thing about the human body and how it functions. Everything. Every detail, every chemical process, every soul, cell, everything. I want you to explain it all in a set of volumes. How many books is that going to take? We were, most of you have heard me tell, we were involved in the state of Ohio when they were doing creation evolution at the state standards for our schools. And I was in the room. There was 50 PhDs in the room. You say, what was I doing in there? I don't know. God sent me there. So we're in the big building in the downtown Columbus, and there's all these PhDs, and they're debating what your kids are going to learn in high school in science curriculum. And some are arguing totally for evolution, and others. Well, one guy stood up. Some of you heard me say this. He had a chart that was 5 foot wide, 3 foot high, and he said, "I'm a PhD. I hire all PhDs in the state of Ohio." He said, "We're geneticists that work with hog and beef production in the state of Ohio, and this is very valuable stuff. There's a lot of money involved, and if you don't know, in hog and beef in the state of Ohio, and if you can do the genetics right so that you get better beef and better pork, it's worth a lot of money." So he said, "I hire all PhDs. This is what we do." And he said, "This chart that I have in front of you, full of detail, packed with detail." He said, "This chart is a description of what's inside of one human cell." And he said, "This did not happen by accident." And he went on to explain his belief in the creator of the universe, and that we would be foolish to teach our kids that this, somehow this evolved. And the room got a little quiet at that point. And he had one of his children there, standing there holding the other end of the chart. And one of the State Board of Education members said, asked something about the child, where they were educated or something. And he said, "I'm homeschooled." And then the room got really quiet, really, really quiet. So I asked this question, which the psalmist asked, and we look at that.
If you could explain every bit of human life, how your body functions, how every cell functions, how everything happens, it would fill volumes and volumes of books to the point that it would be numbered like the sand of the sea. And you tell me, it all happened by accident. There is a creator who is beyond our comprehension. Is there not? It is incredible as we celebrate life and think about what God designed. So Psalm 139, verse 23 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my ways," as it says in the Old King James, or anxieties. Some of you will go, "Hey, I'm there." "And see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And I must ask this question as he asks, is there any wickedness in the way our country handles life? Wow. Huh. Wow. We throw out all of this and say it just happened. We throw out the whole design and say do it any way you want. We're now experimenting with, you know, designer babies and, you know, create what you want to come out. And the Almighty's going, right? This isn't how I planned it. This isn't how I designed it. And I will not bless this. I'm hearing, you know, you can imagine God saying, right? And the psalmist, after looking at this, says, "Oh, search my heart. Is there any wickedness in me? Have I devalued life? Have I treated this child as if I shouldn't protect it? Have I treated my financial condition as more important than the life of this child? Have I done this or whatever?" God, look at our hearts and judge us if we're wrong, right? Somehow, why is it? How could God bless this? That we have laws that protect sea turtles, and bad things will happen to you if you touch one of them. And yet, you can kill one of these without any consequences and with the blessings of our society and government. How could we get there? This is just unbelievable. How did we get there? Right? How did we get so far from this? We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We've said that among different ethnic groups of people. Why aren't we saying that for the most vulnerable of life in the womb? Don't they have the right to life? They certainly do, don't they? Interesting, one little fact, I'm not going deep into politics, I just want to rejoice with you on this one. I didn't even realize it. A whole lot of things have changed in the last year, thankfully, from the Christian community to how things have changed. Tremendous changes. There's been a respect for churches, a respect for Christian businesses. There's been a whole big, here's sweeping change. This one just happened a few months ago, and I didn't even know it happened. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services has now stated in their, who they are, that life begins at conception. I don't believe that ever happened in any previous administration. It might have. They actually state in their documents that life begins at conception. Obviously, some people aren't very happy about that, but the Health and Human Services has affirmed in a new document that life begins at conception, that improving healthcare in America includes the unborn. The draft mentions caring for children who are not yet born applies to all human beings from the moment of conception to natural death. It was never worded that way before. This is the first time I knew of that we actually have now in our government acknowledged that that one cell human being is a human being that deserves our protection. Thank God. Thank God for Christians who have spoken up, gotten involved, and who God has put in places of high office. Now, I'm not saying every person you're thinking about is a Christian. I don't know all their hearts, but I do know that God has put a lot of key Christians in high levels who are changing how people think and how people are treated. Thank God for that. God's answers to prayers. Here's that incredible life. 18 days before a lot of women even know they're expecting. The heart's already beating. 42 days, brain waves are detected. 52 days, the child's hiccuping and yawning, and on it goes. Isn't that incredible? So here we have life, and isn't it amazing to me that everybody says, yep, that's life that needs protected. Even unsaved people, even agnostics and atheists say, yep, that's life that needs to be protected. Why don't we see this the same exact way? Here's two lives should be protected, right? They're both human beings, made in the image of God, unique in the history of the world. And so I think they're both life, and we ought to stand for that, and we ought to rejoice in that today and do everything in our power to say to relatives, friends, people around us, things that we're involved with, that's a child. If you can't raise that child, let somebody else do it. Adoption is out there. If you're struggling, you don't know what to do, you're in a situation that's difficult, there's people that will help you or will help you so that you can raise that child. I thank God for these pregnancy centers all across America that Christians have been staffing now for over 40 years. They're there day in and day out, counseling, helping, giving help and hope and direction to young women who are in crisis situations, who are in an emotional moment and don't know where to turn. They need a wise, caring, loving voice that steers them the right direction and helps them to make the right decision. That's good stuff. That's the celebration of life, and that's putting Christianity into practice. After all, God did say something about caring for the orphans and the widows, right? The fatherless. And there's a whole lot of people who aren't intending to do wrong. They just don't have any direction. They don't have any guidance. They don't have anybody saying to them, this is the path. This is the way of God's blessing. Let's do it that way. And so of everybody in this room, I am sure there are multiple people who this year will find themselves suddenly in a conversation at work or with a coworker's daughter or with a person in your own family. And God will put you in those moments at that time to be that voice for life. Grab that opportunity and speak on God's behalf for their life. Isaiah 44:24, the Lord says, the Lord your Redeemer, he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord that makes all things. Let's celebrate life. And as you've often heard me state, that applies to all life. It does not matter whether you have cerebral palsy, whether you're in a wheelchair, whether you got Parkinson's, or whether you're on your last leg on the way out. All of life is created in the image of God, and they deserve our care, our love, our protection, and the understanding that human life is sacred. This isn't a deer. It's not a groundhog. Those aren't made in the image of God. This is a human being, however crippled, however disabled, they're a human being in the image of God, and they deserve our care. And Christians ought to be at the forefront and are at the forefront of that care, right? That's a cute critter. But then another is a human being. And how we treat other human beings is our relationship to God. A few verses just to summarize. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The overflowing thing that should come out of our lives as we deal with people around us is this love for life, for human life, for other human beings. God has filled our hearts with love, and that love comes out to them. If you hate people, something's wrong in your heart and your relationship with God. And in the world around you, it ought to be the believers who have the greatest love for the disabled, the greatest love for the seniors, the greatest love for the child that's slow, the greatest love for the baby in the womb. It ought to be the Christians that are outpouring with love for other human beings simply because they're other human beings. 1 John 4:9, in this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be propitiation for our sins. God initiated the love. It has to come that way from us too. Some of you are outgoing personalities, it's easy. Some are more introverted and it's hard. But you can't go through life saying, I'll love somebody when they love me first. God didn't do that with you. God initiated the relationship with you. God calls us to initiate the relationships of love with other human beings around us and to care for them in the process, right? Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one's seen God at any time, but if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. When you show love to another human being, regardless of their situation, they see God. If I follow, and I'm not so good at that all the time, if I follow that advice, and I love somebody who I don't really feel like loving, I love somebody who doesn't appear to be so lovable, but I do it, they see God in those actions. Let's celebrate life. Let's celebrate marriage. Let's celebrate the babies to be born. And let's celebrate in loving one another with a pure heart fervently. Let's bow. Oh, good God, it is good to be here. It is good to be together this morning. It is good to open your word. It's good to celebrate your creation and to stand in amazement before you at what you designed and who we are in your love. You've loved us with an everlasting love. You stretch your arms out to us. You knock at the doors of our heart and you draw us to yourself. We love you because you first loved us. Oh Lord, we thank you for that and pray you would help us to imitate that, imitate you in our relationships with one another. Help us to open our mouths at the right time. Help us to love all people for your sake and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.